Good evening. The billionaire scamster Nirav Modi, at the center of a 14,000 crore rupee banking fraud, has been cleared for extradition to India from the United Kingdom, where he had sought refuge. He still has a right to appeal in the United Kingdom, but today the judge in the UK was absolutely clear. Here are a couple of key quotes from the judgment. "It is clear Nirav Modi has a case to answer in India," is what the judge ruled. "There is no evidence that if extradited, he will be failed to be granted justice. Accept the assurances given by the government of India in this case regarding prison safety. Nirav Modi can get combined treatments given the assurances from the government of India. It is clear that Indian authorities can cope with Nirav Modi's mental health issues." The court said that it was satisfied that Nirav Modi's extradition to India is in compliance with human rights. Well, joining us now, the senior Supreme Court lawyer, Mukul Rohatgi. Sir, thanks very much for being with us. Firstly, I got to ask you, in all your years, your decades as a lawyer, have you ever come across a more, something as big as this, where the entire system has been fleeced of upwards of 14,000 crores, something as big as this? Because the magnitude of the scam is what perplexes most.
Vishnu, I have seen a lot of scams. I am now used to these 9 or 10 or 12 figures. These are all figures which are bandied about, whether it is Malia and whether it is Modi, whether there are other cases. Now, you know, a few thousand crores doesn't sound that big. We are recently doing a case of Vodafone. There's not a case of a scam, but the figure is 58,000 crores. So let's keep aside the figures. But according to me, from whatever I have read on the TV, I have not seen the judgment of the English court. I think it is a stupendous victory for government of India. This shows that India as a nation has kind of found its place in the sun, in the Committee of Nations. It has come of age. People look at India with respect. And let me tell you, in the last more than 40 years that I've been practicing, I have come across several cases in which the request for extradition from government of India has been rejected repeatedly by UK and other countries, and in fact costs have been imposed. So much so, many years ago, there was a person who's called a gangster, Iqbal Mirchi, who's passed away. His extradition was refused by government of India, and a cost of about 90 or 100,000 pounds was imposed. I remember that case because I was involved in some issues thereafter. So it's a stupendous victory for the legal system, for the judiciary, that we have a robust judicial system and that we are not a banana republic. So people who run away from here, called bhagodas, they have jolly well to come back and they must reap what they sow. They must face the jail terms, and they would be well advised to now come back and pay up the dues of the public or the banks, which is kind of my money and your money and every common man's money. And this is a big, big raising of the flag for Government of India. And I must congratulate all officers of the Government of India who were involved along with their lawyers in England.
But sir, there is still that process of appeal. Now, we've seen in the case of Vijay Mallya this extending for years. There's also the possibility that he can apply for asylum.
Yes,
it's
Vishnu.
It's not a victory completely until he's on our soil.
Well, Vishnu, you are right, but I would say now the base is strong and concrete. There is no doubt that he will still have some kind of a rope available to file an appeal to the High Court or to the Supreme Court, which may or may not be entertained. And it doesn't take that long. In Mallya's case, it ended. All these appeals have ended in 2-3 years. I think it will be faster now because the British courts and the British government has realized that government of India means business and India is not a nation to be trifled with. I presume that in a year or so, all these appeals, etc., will end. Thereafter, the last thing that a person can try is to apply for asylum.
Right.
Which I believe Mallya has applied. But I think that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. It is not going to be an interminable wait. And I'm sure that we will see these people on the shores of India very soon, if not in 2021, maybe 2022, or at the best 2023.
Okay.
And they will then, you know, have to meet what they have done.
Mr. Rothke,
amounts of money which have to be repaid.
Mr. Rothke, would you like to reflect on the way in which this scam happened, that there were these fake letters of understanding at PNB's branch at Brady Road in Mumbai? It wasn't just one fake letter of understanding. He got fraudulent guarantees first on the 10th of March 2011. After that, he managed to get 1,202 more such guarantees over the next 74 months.
Well, Vishnu,
go ahead.
Well, yes. So whatever I have seen, this is a case of, you know, corrupting the system. We come across cases that a man is in connivance with one officer of a bank, that a check which should be dishonored has been passed, or which is meant for my account or your account, goes into somebody else's account. But this was a well-oiled conspiracy. Many, many officers of the bank and others and different departments of the bank, because letters of credit are dealt with a different department as opposed to domestic banking.
Yes.
So a lot of people were on the take. From various levels, they were on take. And it was as if a whole corrupt system was working and dancing at the tunes of this fraudster. And that is why a large number of these fraudulent documents were prepared. Now, you know, these scams have occurred. They occurred in 1990, the famous Harshad Mehta scam.
Yes.
There are also a large number of fraudulent notes which are called in financial terms, notes and other treasury documents were prepared. I have myself seen in one of the cases a demand draft in favor of a bank, which cannot be put into anybody else's account because it's a demand draft.
Right.
But I found in those cases a demand draft meant for A bank went into Arshad Mehta's account without any endorsement, without any transfer. So, you know, these things happen and they go on. It's like saying, "Aap topi ghumaiye," but one day it kind of fails. And when it fails, then it's like, you know, a hornet's nest and the whole thing kind of comes alive.
Mr. Rothke, what's really unbelievable in this case, quite besides the personal connivance of a bank official at this particular PNB branch, was that the guidelines which existed on paper for any number of overseas branches of Indian banks were systematically not looked at. The guidelines were not followed. They failed to share any information with PNB, which were made to them by the firms at the time of availing credit from them. Right, so the system failed. This was a failure of banking in the highest level.
I agree with you. But as I said, if it's a well-oiled conspiracy at 3-4 different levels of junior managers, senior managers, or regional managers or directors based here or there, and you try and keep it under wraps so that nobody sees. I mean, so many scams have occurred. I mean, some months back, there was a PMC bank scam. I mean, I had never heard of a bank called PMC, Punjab and Maharashtra Bank. So many banks have, you know, have had these dubious things. There is no doubt that these are kind of regulatory failures. In as much as the audit department of the bank concerned, because every bank has an audit department. Like the CVC, it has an officer of the vigilance department in every bank, which is supposed to have an in-house audit. You must see all this. So, you know, these are repeatedly failing in this country. I mean, banks fail abroad also. But the levels of corruption which have been found here are stupendous. And at least, you know, the importance is this, that in future, people who want to run away by looting banks of this country will be very wary, because they now know that India and Government of India and its agencies like CBI, etc., have long arms. And those long arms will fetch you back. And mind you, the reciprocating country, maybe a first world country, is also now wary of refusing a government a request of extradition, etc. And therefore, I presume and I hope that with the tightening of regulatory functions, including RBI supervision, and the fear of God, which should go into these kind of people, we should see kind of more protection of our banks and less of this loot traveling.
Mr. Rothke, just one more question on this before we move on to something completely different. This was really the story of a man who wasn't really known. He ended up becoming in 2017 the 57th richest person, rank 57 in the Forbes list of billionaires. Through corrupt money, which he looted, he set up a chain of diamond jewelry retail stores all over the world. How is this the story of an almost incredible scam of a person who, it wasn't rags to riches, but a person from nowhere emerged to be a multi-billionaire and set up an empire? It's unbelievable.
You are right. It is unbelievable. But, you know, one lie, one loot over the other. He climbed those steps of the ladder pretty fast, was lucky in fooling people, not only in the banking sector, but fooling his customers. I'm told that what he was selling was also not even real jewelry. So there was fraud and corruption, either in the sale, in the purchase. I've read about threats to other people. And you know, it would make a mystery movie. It'd be a story of a movie that the way it moved. And I mean, it's just surprising and stupendous that how this man rose without doing a stroke of hard work and somehow getting basically banks on his side. That's what led to all this.
1,213 fake guarantees, and that's what happened. All right, we're going to move on now to our next focus. The government has announced new rules to regulate digital content featuring a code of ethics and a three-tier grievance redressal framework for news sites and OTT platforms, streaming platforms. The Union IT Minister Ravi Shankar Prasad said the rules will empower users of social media, and that the guidelines for intermediaries and the Digital Media Ethics Code rules, as it is called, prescribes for the first time how digital news organizations, social media platforms, and OTT streaming services will be regulated. Now, the rules include a strict oversight mechanism involving several ministries and a code of ethics that bans content affecting the sovereignty and integrity of India and that which threatens national security. Now, social media giants will be required to appoint India-based compliance officers. If they remove content, they will be required to inform users, give reasons for taking down their post and hearing them out. But I think the big question is this. The entire premise of self-regulation, which many across media, whether it's social media, digital media or news, that seems to have been replaced by a system of eventual government oversight. And some of the demands have been made on social media companies and the other companies as well, it seems might be very difficult to implement. Let's go back to Mr. Rothke. Sir, if we look at social media, the rule says that all social media companies have to tell users not to host defamatory, obscene, pornographic, pedophilic, invasive of another person's privacy, etc., information, or even insulting, libelous, inconsistent. How does one define insulting? How does one define inconsistent? How does one even define privacy in the context of social media?
Now, Vishnu, you have raised a very, very important question. And this question transcends from regulatory control into invasions of privacy. That is a very, very prickly subject. But let me first tell you, your users must know that whether it is Facebook, whether it is Twitter, whether it's WhatsApp, these social media platforms are mere virtual platforms on which people come and express their views. It's not like making a film,
right,
where a director makes a film, puts the actors in it, tells a story, right, wrong, and has various nuances in a film. You may have a rape, you may have a murder, you may have a comedy. Now here, it's a virtual platform, which is neutral. We are in law under the IT Act. By we, I mean the social sites. They are called intermediaries. They don't decide the question you have raised. What is insulting? What is in bad taste? What is in good taste? What may be a joke to me, may be a flirtatious joke to me, may be seen in a bad light by somebody. You know, something like Lady Chatterley's lover.
Right.
So firstly, I am not a judge, and the Supreme Court has already ruled in a case called Shreya Singhal,
yes,
who's also a lawyer, that the intermediaries cannot be judges to decide this is offensive or insulting.
Yeah.
It is either for a government authority to decide or a court to decide. Basically, a court to decide.
But they've overruled that. Now it's legislation, right? So yeah, Shreya Singhal doesn't stand.
So every day we are doing cases where a person goes to a court and says, look, so and so has posted offensive pictures about me or my friend or my family, and this should be taken down. So the court orders that it should be taken down, and Facebook and WhatsApp, I've been appearing for these social sites for some years now, that these sites, then take it down. There is no problem. They never contest. But they cannot be a judge. And the Supreme Court says, so firstly, if the onus is on us, it is very difficult for us to, us by us, I mean these sites, for these sites to discharge the onus. Now, if I can't discharge the onus, the second question. Now, I notice that they say that you must be able to find out who is the originator.
Exactly.
Of WhatsApp.
Right.
Right.
Now, that means disclosing identity.
Yeah. So now let's examine it a little further. In a WhatsApp, not Facebook, in a WhatsApp message, I send you a message.
Yeah. It's encrypted and you can't do it, right?
Yes. It is completely encrypted.
Yeah. The information WhatsApp is not with the servers of WhatsApp at all. No. It doesn't exist. It's user to user.
Affidavit in the Supreme Court that WhatsApp itself cannot read the contents of the message. It cannot be stored. It cannot be read.
And yet they can do that through Pegasus software, which they've done in the past.
Well, that's an aberration, but it cannot be read. Don't talk about aberrations, because WhatsApp is in 150 countries in the world. They don't read messages. That's the encryption from A to Z. Now, the second question. If I send you a message, you know it has come from me. But if you send the same message to another friend,
yes,
maybe it is flirtatious, maybe it is bad, your friend will know that you have sent it, but not that Mr. Rohatgi was the originator of the message.
Yeah, so it'll be a wild goose chase, right?
Yeah. So now under the new regulation, if the originator has to be made available, the originator's number, then on the WhatsApp which I send to you, my number will come, and when you send the WhatsApp further, my number will still remain pasted, and if it has gone 100 times, my number will always remain pasted as the man who sent it and is being repeatedly forwarded. So here comes an issue of privacy. Should, in fact, a question has been raised in a case in the Supreme Court filed by an MP called Mr. Binoy Biswam, that nobody should in fact know that I have sent a message to Vishnu. Forget the contents. The fact that I have sent you a message is also an aspect of privacy.
Right.
So, you know, this privacy issue has now been settled by a 9-judge bench of the Supreme Court to say that privacy sits in fundamental rights under the Constitution.
Right.
So where, I mean, I'm not saying that regulation by itself is a bad thing. I wish there could have been self-regulation, so the government wouldn't have stepped in. But now that the government has stepped in for security of the nation, etc., or whatever, I don't say that it is a bad thing. But I don't think it has been fully thought out. It's kind of a little hasty.
No, but Mr. Rohatgi, let me ask you this, because you asked me you raised an important point. It just seems that every other clause, so many clauses in this entire 26-29-page document, refers to a threat to unity, integrity, defense, security of sovereignty of India, friendly relations with foreign nations, public order. These can at one level always be excuses. You can subsume everything under national security and say it is a threat, right? We can do a defense story and somebody can say it is a threat, right? So information gets shut down. Is that not a worry that tomorrow a WhatsApp or Facebook can be told this information is wrong? It affects us because of friendly relations with another country. Shut it down. Shut down the message. And therefore, anything can be shut down.
No, and also, see, the worry is that it is up to an offense of 5 years. Right? Yes. That also I saw. Now, that also is not very easy. You know, it's not black and white. But, I mean, let me put it this way. The bottom line is this, that some amount of regulation is fine because nobody can have a completely unregulated business.
Right.
So, if TV is regulated, you are regulated, then even an OTT must be regulated.
Yes.
So, that's a level playing field. So far, so good. But in that business of regulation, you cannot trench upon other rights.
Right.
For this encryption, which I am saying, which WhatsApp proudly claims from end to end, this encryption will have to break because you will have to then store as to who sent what.
Yeah.
And you have a data protection law which says you can't store any material.
Right.
Rightly so. Now, here you will be bound to store. How will you know those originator is unless you store? And store what? Billions and millions of messages. I mean, this originator business, to my limited knowledge, is not anywhere in the world.
And can executives of these companies therefore be jailed because they cannot technically comply with this? Can India executives be jailed?
You are right. But see, the issue is that these companies, WhatsApp, these social sites are functioning in 150 countries in the world. So, in everywhere this has to be done, it will be impossible to run a business. Now, recently, Supreme Court has reserved judgment in a case where some of these officials are summoned by, say, Delhi Assembly. Tomorrow, they'll be summoned by Kerala Assembly. Tomorrow, they'll be summoned by X Assembly. I mean, you know, one has to kind of have some modicum of restraint, some middle path somewhere. So, you have some slight controls somewhere. But one has to do it very carefully. Because these companies are also responsible to safeguard the privacy of a large number of its users.
All right.
So it's now one offset against the other. So it's a big...
Okay, sir, before I let you go, just one final question. I'm running short on time. The other issue, of course, affects OTT platforms. They propose to set up self-regulation at the level of the company, a self-regulatory body, including, right? And third, an oversight mechanism where a joint secretary, as I understand it, has a right to pull content, to order something to be blocked or shut down. Again, when it comes to a freedom of expression, when it comes to, say, content on Netflix or Amazon Prime or what have you, is that not going to be a big problem going forward?
It will be. My only hope is, you know, all these will go to court. People who want privacy will go to court. People who want the regulation will go to court. OTTs like Netflix or whatever may go to court. It will ultimately have to be resolved. But my only hope is that the regulation is not ham-handed, is not heavy, and at the end of the day, you don't use a hammer to kill a fly.
Right.
That's how I would end it.
Yeah.
But this is subject to my reading it further. I only saw on TV what the ministers were saying. I have not read the documents.
Right.
But these are my initial thoughts.
Now, I agree, sir. The implementation of this is where, you know, it could be potentially problematic. But I'd like to thank you very much for being with us, speaking both about this digital media and social media and also the Nirav Modi case. Thank you very much indeed.